This is WHQR Wilmington, 96.7 Classical HQR and 91.3 HQR News. I'm Jamila Erickson, and this is the Midday Interview. My guest today is Rebecca Petruck. We had her as our guest for Prologue, a featured author here at WHQR maybe a couple of months ago. It was just one of those funny timing things where a lot of folks didn't seem to have heard about it, or maybe they'd already met Rebecca when she launched the book at Pomegranate Books. But we had a small attendance that night, and this book is worth a larger audience. So here we are. Rebecca, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Now, this book is called Steering Toward Normal. And tell us what it's about.
It's about two boys who discover their half-brothers and in the course of raising steers to compete at the Minnesota State Fair, go from just being related to actually being family.
They really form a brotherhood, a sense of being close to each other.
And it's a middle grade novel, and it's boys and cows, so there's poop and humor. So I hope it's a lot of fun, but it does also have a lot of heart.
Yeah, I imagine so. Now tell our listeners about your own training as a writer, when you wanted to write, when you started that, and how you landed in Wilmington and your connection here.
I'm like many writers, one of those kids who is always jotting down stories. And for a while in middle grade, I was obsessed with this television show, V, that starred Mark Singer, and the wave with the hair was fantastic. And so I would write episodes of V with, you know, the spunky new kid who saved the day.
Who was you?
Which was me, of course.
Of course, of course.
And my mother saved those journals, so I still have quite a few of those episodes. But I was always writing and making up stories. And as far as coming to Wilmington, I had been thinking about doing an MFA program for a while. I had been working in New York City in publishing and magazines for about 10 years, and just kept putting it off, getting raises and promotions. And then September 11 happened. And that, like it was for many people, was transformative. Mm. And by the first anniversary of September 11, I was here in the MFA program.
You start thinking, life is short. I better do what it was that I most wanted to do all along.
And this anniversary in particular was very moving for me because my book came out this year. So having left and then come back, you know, left New York for the MFA with the intention of publishing a book, and then having that dream realized was just a very emotional anniversary.
I'm sure. My goodness, I didn't know that story behind the book. Rebecca, you yourself were raised in a lot of different places, but partly in Minnesota. And I think it was when you were living there that you got involved in 4-H yourself. Is that right? Or was it later?
Actually, yeah, it's one of those funny things. So in Minnesota, I only lived there until I was 8, but all of my family is still there.
Okay.
And when we were very little, many families would do this. They would buy a calf in the spring, raise it through the summer, butcher it in the fall to have meat through the winter.
Right.
And so we have all these wonderful pictures of me and my dad with the steer. And then the steer, which we named after my dad, Dwayne, and
the steer
was always escaping, and we were always chasing through the fields calling, Dwayne, Dwayne, which we just thought was hysterical. And then the animal was gone.
Mm.
And I've never really been a fan of beef. I think it scarred me emotionally.
You know, I'm not surprised. I lived for a while on a farm up in the mountains of North Carolina, and my primary job on the farm was I was one of the shepherdesses of a flock of about 30 sheep. So I helped the ewes during their time if they had difficulty birthing. I helped them. I rescued a couple of little lambs that would have died if somebody hadn't intervened to help them out, and I have not been able to eat lamb or mutton ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of comes with the territory. I think once you get to know an animal and you name them and they become a friend, you just don't want to see them on your plate, you know?
And that's part of what made me have so much more respect for the competitors that I interviewed, because these are boys and girls who raise steers, and they spend 4 to 5 hours a day with these animals.
Wow.
Competitive steers get a lot more care than, you know, a herd of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And steers are empathetic, they're friendly, they have all sorts of different personalities, and so they come to love these animals as if even more than like a dog.
Right.
But at the end of the year and at the end of the day for steers, they're beef cattle.
Exactly.
So at the end of the fair, they are sold to the packer and loaded onto the truck for slaughter. And these competitors, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, would do it year after year. And I couldn't even do it. In early drafts of my book, I saved the steers. Wow. I let them come home and roam around in a pasture. Right. And it was a competitor who read an early draft for me, a 13-year-old boy, who said, everything is correct, but it's kind of a Cinderella ending. That would never happen. And I realized I wasn't honoring the full experience of these 4-H'ers and Future Farmers of America competitors by not including that element of what they go through after year after year. I think they are incredibly generous kids, and it's an amazing lesson for them to learn so early in life that it's okay to love for a year, even knowing there's going to be pain at the end, because at least you had that love for the year.
Wow, I can't imagine. That's a really profound lesson for an adult to get, for someone that age to realize that. I can't imagine how that impacts the rest of their life.
And I think it was that element that is what saved Diggy, the main character in the book, helped save Diggy's family, because he had that kind of generosity of heart already, so that when he discovers he has a half-brother, his same age, the same grade, there is a lot of resentment and anger, but there's also a lot of sympathy and understanding, and his heart is big enough because he's had this experience with the cattle, that eventually he can bring Wayne into his family. Oh. There are definitely some rough times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there would be at that age anyway, without all the layers of drama and trauma later on, suddenly having a half-brother, being in competition with bringing the steer, getting ready for the state fair. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're hearing the voice of Rebecca Petruck. I want to tell you this before I forget. Her website is Rebecca Petruck. It's just Rebecca and then petruck.com. You can read about her. You can read about this book. She did graduate from the MFA program here at UNCW, and she is working now on her second book. I'd like to talk more about this one, but our time is so short. Would you tell us what you're working on right now, Rebecca?
Sure. It's called Will Nolan Eats Bugs. And
Will Nolan Eats Bugs.
Yes. Okay. And it focuses around the idea of entomophagy, which is the eating of insects for nutrition. And, you know, bug eating is classic middle grade territory, and it's very, very funny. But it's also very, very serious. The UN recommends we eat more insects because they're highly nutritious. And they
there's so many of them.
And they use far fewer resources to farm. But I realized as I was researching that I'm food production girl. The first book was about raising beef, and this book is about raising bugs as food. So the third book will have to be chocolate.
I will buy it in advance, okay? I want an advance copy on the chocolate book. But I have to tell you that what's interesting is perhaps your second book will serve to save the steer from the first book. If we all start eating the bugs instead of the cattle, maybe they have a second chance. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming in today. Again, you can go to RebeccaPetruck.com and read more. Thanks so much.
Thank you.